on a Zoom call with me is our life coach extraordinaire and also just super spy all around. Just really great. Jason Bourne or Burnick. His website's Jason Burnick, but I actually think it's Bourne because he's really good at stuff. Hi, Jason. How are you today?
Good on you, Danny. Thanks for having me on again. Excited to be on as usual.
Even me, I'm excited because I think today you're going to help a lot of us with a lot of feeling stucknesses.
That's taken some coaching lingo and just torn it apart. But I'll do my best.
If you look at it from a positive perspective, I've created a new word for coaching lingo.
Or you just butchered the last one. Either way, I like it. Let's work with whatever variation of the original we have. It's all entertaining.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. I love
Can I ask the question? Can I ask the question this time?
Ask it.
So, Danny, what are we talking about this week?
Ooh, well, brain, because you're normally the brain. Well, brain, this week we are going to try and take over the world by making people come unstuck. Did I get it right?
I had to laugh out. I think so. I had to laugh out loud because I was dying within my own silent laughter, and it would have just been a long pause on a podcast. So I had to make it audible.
Okay, but the reason that I when we're not doing a podcast, Jason and I talk about what we're going to talk about and why we should talk about it, because it's got to be relevant, right? The things that we talk about, the things that Jason coaches us through. He is a business coach, a life coach. He's a dad. He's a business owner. And he's also experiencing lockdown like the rest of us are. But he obviously has this amazing toolkit that he brings with that can help us maybe. And so I spoke to him a little bit about this because I've been speaking to a lot of my friends via Zooms and house parties and WhatsApp video calls and whatever. And a lot of people are saying they've had 15 or so weeks at home, away from their workplace or with their spouses or with their boyfriends and girlfriends. And they're starting to realize that the spaces that they're in are maybe not the spaces for them, but they're stuck because they can't leave, literally and figuratively. So Jason's going to help us feel unstuck, whether we're reevaluating our work situation or whether we're reevaluating a relationship or a friendship. I just think that it's so necessary now. You know, we've introspected and it's now time to put that into motion.
Great introduction. Thank you. And the word you used when we were talking in addition to stuck was trapped, which I think almost takes the idea of stuckness and narrows it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there's this almost physical feeling of being trapped within our houses, within our provinces. And so it's more than just the emotional and mental feeling of being stuck. Yeah. There's something more tangible to it right now. Look, that may be made up and may be real, but the point is that we can throw in other words to support stuck, just to make it feel more impactful, at least when we're speaking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go for it.
No, you know, I was going to say, so a lot of my friends and a lot of my peers are 30 in their 30s and 40s. And the resounding question and the resounding conversation that I'm having at the moment, Jason, is, but how am I going to change your relationship from 35? How am I going to find a new career at 40?
I really don't think anyone's age has anything to do with it. I think it's more important to explore what's going on, the circumstances, understand where you are, and look at what you want and look at how you're going to move forward and focus on what you want. Whether you are 35, 40, 55, 60, 75, it doesn't really make a difference in terms of one's age. The fact that anyone's even aware of the fact that they are stuck, or more specifically in this case, trapped in a situation, in a relationship, in a job, in their own mind, that's what's important. The fact that they're aware means that they're able to at least they have the foundation to start moving away from where they are to where they want to be. Mm-hmm. So I would avoid bringing age into it and focus on more of what the reality is and what they want the reality to be.
Okay. So where do we even start? So for example, do you want an example or are you just going to give us a tip? Like, I don't know how you want to do this.
Well, we can see if examples come into it, but let's play with it a little bit. Let's start with a fact. I do believe that where anyone is a result of a series of choices that they've made throughout their lives.
Oh, for sure.
It's led them to be where they are. They may be subconscious or conscious, but they made choices. The choices could be good choices or bad choices, choices that they're proud of, choices that they regret. But those choices have led them to be exactly where they are. And looking back and criticizing or judging or regretting those choices doesn't serve them. Taking stock of where they are and accepting that reality is the basis of which they need to be to move forward. So there's a feeling around that as well. It's not just the fact, it's also the feeling and how they feel about where they are, because the emotions around how they feel lead them very often to remaining stuck, remaining trapped. The thing is that how you feel about it is how you think about it, because everything we feel is what we made up in our own minds.
Yeah.
So if entrapment is a state of mind, then you think that you have limited choice, even though the choices that you made got you here. And you think that you may be at the end of the road. So those are two examples that come up very often. But anyone sitting in this position would have created it, so they can either remain with it or they can change it. So as with so many situations, it's valuable to understand whilst they're taking stock of the position that once again, they have choice. And again, it won't necessarily be the right choice or the wrong choice. But the point is that anyone that feels stuck or feels trapped can move forward in some direction from where they are to create something new for themselves.
Okay, that sounds super easy. But I know that is not going to be easy.
Just go do it.
Yeah, just go do it. Jason Burnick said, just do it. So let's just do it. But like often, those situations that you find yourself trapped in or stuck in, you've been in them for many, many years. And they're comfortable as well as making you feel like you're stuck.
And even that comfort is self-entrapping. So people remain there because it's very difficult. It's easier to remain than facing fears by like questioning the choices. You know, sometimes it is worth looking back, not regretting the choices, but just trying to understand why I made that choice that brought me here, because I don't necessarily want to make that choice again. Or if I find myself in a particular situation, maybe I could make different choices so that I don't land up in this position once again. People also remain where they are because they don't want to challenge self. It's very difficult for anyone to look inward and start challenging everything about them. Are they in integrity or out of integrity? Also, challenging yourself takes a lot of energy. I mean, literally, the mental capacity to challenge yourself, ask questions, and set strategies going forward is draining or can be draining. It's simply difficult for a lot of people to challenge themselves. And also, remaining where they are is because if you don't remain, you step into what's often the unknown, and the unknown is really intimidating. And when you step into the unknown, like stepping out of a herd, like an animal stepping out of a herd and into the wilderness, you can stand out and be taken out by the lion. And that works in human social circumstances as well, that when you move away from what's comfortable, what's familiar, whether again it's for real that you get judged or criticized, or in your own mind you get taken out, there is a certain sense of intimidation around that. And those that are even considering this are afraid of the potential results, which could mean failure, because you're moving out of this comfort zone into the unknown and you could fail. You know, you could try and look for a new job and fail, or you could try and not attain any movement or shift or progress for a long period of time. And you could look within and think, oh, I failed. Or you could be very conscious of the fact, whether real or not, that people are looking at you thinking, oh, you know, you wanted it, you said you're going to do it, and you're failing. Strangely, the converse of this, well, strangely to those listening, maybe not to you and me, Danny, but people are also afraid of success. Because if they get what they want, well, then what are they going to do with it? Which is why so many lotto winners lose money. Mm. They lose all of their money in the first 2 or 3 years. Because many people, once attain success, are unfamiliar with living that successful life, with having the money, having the material possessions, having access to, having flexibility, that they don't even know what to do with it. And also, a consideration that a lot of people don't think about is the effect on others. Because if you are going to move out of your state of stuckness or entrapment, it might very well have repercussions or positive or negative effects on other people.
Yeah. But then how do you navigate that? So how do you decide whether it's good for you, but then it might be bad for someone else? How do you navigate that?
It's often going to be bad for someone. So if I'm doing something selfish for me, I can only do the best I can to not step on those that I work with or work around or work through to get to where I want to be.
Okay.
But if what did you say to me when we were talking about entrapment? I think it was love, life, and work. So we consider those three areas of being trapped in love, in life, in work.
Yeah.
There's probably always going to be someone or a business, you know, some party that will receive the short end of the stick. But in someone trying to shift their way of being from where they are to where they want to be, they can do it in such a way that they don't have to have a win-lose situation. It could be that they just get more of what they want and the other resulting or left-behind party just doesn't get as much of what they want, like leaving a job. You know, you're not going to break the company, but you may get another job that you like. So I've got a model around this. It's called the entrapment model, and it was made up by me a few minutes ago. not going to find it in a textbook. But what we have is this current reality where people are feeling the sense of entrapment, and they know they're there, which is great. And they either want to or they try to escape. They try to move out of where they are and move somewhere in the direction of where they want to be, whether or not they know this at this time. But they keep running into this wall of fear. Fear of many things is described just now. But every time they hit this fear, they keep bouncing back and returning to the current reality. And then this reality becomes self-perpetuating. So they remain there and they remain in the emotional state that they were with the feelings that they have, which may be unhappy, they may be uncertain. And there's this risk of it going on forever and them forming this downward spiral.
Yeah.
And as a result of this, they get these two resultant narratives, which we could call distinctions, the one narrative versus the other. And I'm looking at extremes over here. The one is that of a caged tiger, which is obviously aggressive and destructive. You know, poke the tiger through the cage and then open the cage. Ooh. It's probably not going to be a good situation.
Yeah.
Versus the other distinction of the passive observer, which is how they're observing their own life and getting caught in this downward spiral because they're observing it from within and they catching themselves in the stuck state. But just a simple change of perspective, like if we were both in the same building and it was raining all day, one of us could look at it and go, oh, well, that's amazing. I love the rain. And the other could look at it and go, well, it's raining and it's terrible and I hate it. So whether it's not necessarily the caged tiger or the passive observer, but it could be somewhere in between, like the active observer. And that's how we start to think about it.
Could the tiger also be, because you said so, like destructive, could the tiger also be self-destructive, like maybe drinking too much or eating too much or doing any of those behaviors to mask their feelings?
Definitely. It could be, there could be exterior contributors like alcohol and drugs and so on, but it could be internal as well. It could be within the mind of the person only. So everyone knows that when you're stuck somewhere, you could feel down, the emotions could drag you further down, and the extreme result of this could be depression, which in very simple terms I define as hopelessness and helplessness. And once you're at that point and the downward spiral is dragging you closer to helplessness and hopelessness, it's even more difficult to get out.
Yeah.
But it's always possible.
So how do we get out?
Depressed.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, if you can do the work and you can take the medication and you can definitely get out.
Sure. So I can't really speak on depression, but I can speak, of course, just in someone that's in a rut. You know, they're in a trapped situation and they just need to get their mind right. And it's more about, in the conversation that I have, it's less about understanding where you are. It's important to notice and recognize the current reality, but it's more about understanding where you want to be so that you can take yourself there. So the first action in this respect is really to accept the circumstances as they are without judgment or criticism. That's very important, because if you recognize where you are, but you keep lambasting yourself about it, that's going to be self-destructive. So be with the circumstances, but also respect, also accept responsibility, because although circumstances, people, environments may have supported you in leading you to where you are, you made the choices every step of the way. And whether that is entirely true or not entirely true, accepting responsibility puts you in a position where you can move forward. But if you remain stuck in blame of other people, places, things, or the world, it's going to be very difficult to move on.
Okay.
So know that your world is as you created it. And you can create or be or have or do anything that you want. Except that this is just a feeling, and the feeling is all made up because the feeling comes from your thinking. And you can still shift or change or create any possibility that you want.
But so, okay, so I get that. But obviously, there are a lot more little steps to get to that big step. So we know that we can be or create or so say now I'm unhappy in my job and I have this great idea for a business that I want to start and I feel really trapped in my space and I'm 35, 40 and I don't feel like I'm safe enough to leave and like create something. What would the, so I know that I've chosen this life, but now that there's this new life that I've just recently thought about, happened upon, discovered, that I feel like it could be better. I've owned up to it. I've realized that my choices put me where I am today. But what are the steps that I could take from here, the baby ones or even the big ones, to get the ball rolling? Because essentially that's all we need, right, is to get the ball rolling.
You can get the ball rolling, but you also need that sustainable movement of the ball because, like, you know, I've got this thing that I call workshop risk or conference risk where you go out and you learn something and you're motivated and inspired, but then you go back to the office and nothing changes because you're back to the mundane, the old way of doing things, the distractions. So you do need that consistent reinforcement, which is where coaching really comes in to help you to build that capacity to continue to do what you need to do. Okay. And through all of the work one might do with a coach, there are habits that you need to break, habits that you need to create, patterns that you need to create. There's work to be done in building the muscle in yourself to be sustainable in this creation. But if you want to keep it really, really simple, which is what we need to do in this call now, it's exactly what you mentioned already. You recognize where you are and know, or you've discovered something else. And that's a massive, big first step. I'm in this job, but I don't want to be in this job. So, well, what do you want? I had a client again to me about a year and a half ago and said she's working with me because she wants to find a new job. So I paused her there. We could have moved straight into solution or action and got her around the strategies of seeking a new job, reaching out to people, interviewing, and so on. But instead, we first explored what new job means. Is it the same job in a different industry? Is it a different job in the same company? Is it actually a job, or could it be starting a business? Could it be consulting? Could it be contracting? Or could it be a mixture of a few until something changes and then she moves over? So once we identified that, it was really focusing on what she wants. And once you've got that focus, it becomes something compelling, something attractive, so that you want to be there. There's a pull factor toward it. There's a desire to consistently and almost on a daily basis move toward this thing because it's so intriguing, so attractive that you want it so much. You're prepared to do the work, the hard work to move toward it. So you have to create this vision around it so that you can replace the feeling and the emotion that you have around entrapment or being stuck with something new. And if you kind of tap into all the senses around it, around what you have and what you want, have a look at, you know, see the new feeling, feel it, recognize it, want it, so that you can create new choices. And if we think about choices in this respect, they're very, very simple. You can either change your perspective and stay where you are, which is an option, because you don't have to get out of the job you're in or the relationship you're in or change your life. You can stay there, but with new perspective,
yeah,
which is really like turning a new leaf and
Absolutely.
Starting over. Or, right, so the first is, you know, change your perspective and stay. Or the second is decide what you want and leave or move. And they're your choices. So you're never completely trapped, unable to move or to change or to go somewhere else or start something new. You have choice. Your choice is stay and change the way you see things, or decide what you want and leave.
I was going to say I like the first option more because I've personally used that first option. I've done that. I have been in situations where I wanted to leave, but all I needed to do was change my perception of the situation and my perspective of the situation, and it actually was a good situation to be in, and it was beneficial to me to stay. And had I just left and walked away, I would never have seen the rewards of those situations. So I do think that before you leave, whether it be a relationship, because I've done this both in business and relationship, whether you leave a relationship or whether you're leaving a job, whether you're considering it or not, I do feel like you should first take Jason's advice about changing your perception of the situation and your perspective, because it can really benefit you, really, really, really. And this is from my own personal experience.
And think about people that you might have met who from job to job to job have the same complaint. Or from social circle to friend to social circle to friend have the same complaint.
Well, we all know those
The common denominator is that person. Yeah. And nothing's going to change in those relationships or those jobs unless the change happens within. Yeah. And if they change the way that they see their environment and their friends and relationships, then those friends and environment and relationships will change. And they don't have to move out. So I would say that that is often, in most cases, a first port of call. And if that still doesn't work, then start looking outside and creating a new vision or new possibility moving toward that. One thing that comes into play a lot is people don't, or they're resistant to moving out of something and into something else because they care too much. And I almost feel like putting that in inverted commas, because they care too much so they don't do anything, which is really an excuse. It's they're getting in front of themselves so that they don't have to take action, which is it results in their really being selfish. Because let's take those three areas of life, job, life, love. Is that if they truly care too much, well, if they stay in a job which they hate, they've probably checked out and they're not the effective, productive employee that the business would want. It's probably better that they go on somewhere else, unless they can sort it out and change their perspective, which at this point, when someone's checked out, is highly unlikely. Mm. In life, if they truly care too much, well, they're probably hurting or boring the people that they're with. And no one wants to be around the person that's in that state of mind where they're looking within and feeling sorry for themselves. Mm. And the result is that they're going to lose friends one way or another. So it's probably better to move on or shift their way of being, to remove themselves from one situation and move on to whatever they want. And the last would be love. And if they care too much to leave a bad relationship, well, the reality is that the feeling is probably mutual. Because even if one person has checked out of a relationship, the other person is being affected by that.
Yeah.
So again, I've got two perspectives within the perspective over here, the two X's around love and caring too much. Well, either fix it or exit it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I read, and I didn't read it. It was a very good friend of mine that actually said, you have the ability to love your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your relationship. You have the ability to love it back to life. You just have to make the conscious decision to choose love over fighting, arguing, resentment, being angry. You know, you have to choose the love version. And the more that you choose that, the more that will circle and snowball. And the more that they'll start stepping up because you've stepped up.
It's so true. And partners in a relationship are so sensitive to each other, but that sensitivity can work both ways. If one of the partners, as hard as it is, makes the decision to stop fighting and arguing and approach with love, the sensitivity in the other person can reciprocate that approach. Mm-hmm. And it can be one-sided, which is extremely difficult, but it could also be agreed upon after a fight or some maybe a time when they're in rapport rather than not. They could sit down and, you know, take stock of where they are and say, let's both try this a different way. Instead of coming from a place of arguing, let's come from a place of love and see how that works out. And maybe it's mind trickery, maybe it's faking it till you make it. It doesn't matter. It's a decision to approach in a different way, and it can work as long as the party or parties that have decided or agreed upon to do this stick with it for a period of time to give it the absolute chance of working. There's another thing. So the one excuse where people get in their own way of this is I care too much. The other is it's not that simple. And have you ever been in conversation with someone where you ask for your advice and you go, well, just do this, do that. And they go, yes, but you don't understand.
No, you don't understand.
I do understand because you've just told me. So I do understand. And they go, yes, but it's not that simple. And I agree. It's very rarely that simple. It's not simple because emotions complicate it. But that person can either debate or continue to debate how complicated it is, or that person can start to do something about it, which is choice once again.
And generally, it really is that simple. No, I know these people. That's why I'm feeling triggered by this, because I know these people where they'll tell you the same story 16 times over. And every time you give them the advice, they either don't take it, or they just go, yeah, but it's really not as easy as you think it is. You don't know me.
Yeah, because they're making excuses for themselves to protect themselves so that they don't have to take the risk of stepping out and being uncomfortable. Yeah. And the analogy of stepping outside the herd again.
But I think
have you seen that video? It was I saw a video a while ago. I think there are a few versions of this, but I really like this, and about perspective within relationships, because this ties in almost jealousy over material relationships as well as love. It brings both together. There was this guy on a bike. It looked like a park path, and he was stationary, and there was a man sitting in a fancy car. And the guy on the bike looked at the man in the fancy car, and he thought, I wish I had all of that.
Oh, yes.
And then he rode off. Shall I continue for the sake of anyone listening?
Yes, please. Yes, no, definitely.
Okay. So he rode off, and he rode past someone who was walking. And the person who was walking looked at this man on the bike and thought, I wish I had a bike. And then the person walking continued, and he saw, and I might be getting the details wrong, but this is pretty much the story. He saw a man pushing his wife in a wheelchair. And the wife in the wheelchair might have been thinking, I wish I had legs so I can walk.
Yeah.
But when they came to a stop, the man was helping his wife with whatever in the wheelchair. He was supporting her. She had a huge smile on her face. So did he. And he kissed her as he helped her out of the wheelchair. And just to the side of them was the original man in the car, the fancy car, material possession, looking onto this couple, thinking, I wish I had love.
Wow, that's deep. But yeah, but we need to learn to appreciate what we have.
And that's the moral of that story. There's always someone that's better off than us. There's always someone that's more able than us. But what we have might not necessarily be that bad. Let's gain perspective, understand where we are and our relationship with self, others, and things, and try and make the best we can of that. And if we can't, then we can look outside and set a vision, a goal, objectives, and try and move toward that.
I am here for this coaching, Jason Bourne-Burnick.
You start off by asking about age, like whether you're 35 or 40, you know, is it too late? Well, if I can go back to that and just continue to respond to that question.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not about the age, but the question may remain when. So I would say, well, ASAP, it's never too late. Never too late to make change to yourself. Never too late to focus in on the relationships and improve them. And it's never too late to change your circumstances. Get a new job. It's not, you know, we've been quite diplomatic in our approach over here. It's never too late to end a friendship. It's never too late to move out of a relationship. Because if you leave it too late, let's assume one's tried everything, but if you leave it very late, too late, for a long time, it may be even more damaging to oneself and to others in that relationship.
Yo, deep and true. That is very true. Very true.
So some good thinking about stuckness and entrapment. Hopefully the lockdown entrapment lifts to at least another level.
Yeah.
Or lowers to another level within the next few weeks. It's nice to know that restaurants and cinemas and casinos and all of that will be relaxing their rules. I don't know what that means, but I look forward to some glimpse of what normal humanity is used to.
What we're used to, yes, but not normal. And this whole quote unquote new normal that everyone keeps talking about is something different.
It's something different, but we are still social beings and we need to sit and drink wine and eat food and not try and do it 100 meters apart wearing protective equipment.
Hazmat suits, like my mother says. No, agreed. Agreed. Definitely. Jason Bernick, thank you so much. Obviously, if someone wants to get into contact with you for one-on-one coaching from a deeper situation, they can reach out to you via your website, right?
Website's the best, successcoaching.co.za.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason Bernick. Are we done? I don't know if we're done.
We're good. Thank you, Danny P.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason. That's that. Mm-hmm. That's a wrap.